So if you're new to Transformation Church, and maybe you're new to the faith, maybe you're not someone who believes Jesus or has surrendered your life to him, and if that's you here in the building or online, we want to say welcome. And our goal, our desire, is to just lift up his name and for you to encounter him. It's about encountering God. And so we're glad that you're here. But if you have been a part of TC, we're actually working through the New Testament together, five chapters a week throughout the whole year. And it's crazy how many times this year there's been something that I've really sensed God wanting me to share, and it's been in the chapters we're studying. Like, it's bizarre. And I also think it's kind of a testimony that God actually uses his word to speak to us. So if you're not tracking with us through the New Testament, it's not too late to start. We're only halfway through the year. I think which is kind of scary. 2020 has thrown a lot at us. and we're only halfway done 2020. Who knows what is to come? If that makes you afraid or scared, I would encourage you even more to journey with us into the scriptures. And so, so there's some things I want to share today that I would have had to share anyway, but because of what the scriptures that we read this week deal with, we're actually going to get into that. So the scriptures this week that if you're following with us that you would have read are 1 Corinthians 8 through 12. And so in that section, and I'll get to it later, Paul talks about head coverings. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about masks, and you'll see the correlation, okay? But before we get there, I want to just point out a couple things. And so I think one of the things that COVID-19 has done, one of the obvious things is that we're confined to our homes, or we're confined to being around smaller groups of people and not around who we're used to being around. It's one of the obvious things. But I think that for a lot of people, they've questioned just their purpose in general. Like, what is my purpose? What do I exist for? And as a pastor, during this time, COVID-19, I've actually questioned, like, what's the purpose of the church, right? Because we live in Thunder Bay, just in case you don't know. So if you're asleep, okay, and you're like, we live in Thunder Bay, all right? It's 2020, it's 21st century, okay? 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified and rose again. We're 2,000 years out from that. That's the time that we live in. It's Canada, right? It's a democracy. There's a lot of kind of crazy things going on. And the way we do church here today is not the way church has always been done. And so what I mean by that, like the way that we meet in a building every week and we sing a few songs and somebody preaches from the word, that's not the way church has always been done. Actually, the scripture, the understanding that the scripture writers had of church was that the church was people. Like, it was the people of God that worshiped Jesus. Like, that is the church. The church is not this building, right? If the church was this building, I'd be really concerned because we just sprung this leak and we had to tear apart the lawn this week. And like, if the church was the building, then we were tearing apart the church, right? But that wasn't tearing apart the church. The church is the people of God, the people that worship Jesus as Lord. Like, that is the church. And so there's all kinds of different ways of doing church, right? So the way that we do it here in Thunder Bay in 2020 isn't the only way. And there's not one way that is the right way, the only way. You know, it depends on the culture you live in and the time and all of that stuff. And so as a pastor here in Thunder Bay in 2020, like, I've just questioned, like, Lord, what is the purpose of the church, especially during the pandemic? Like, there's all kinds of people that are struggling even more so in the middle of this pandemic because of all of the restrictions and because things are changing so much. And I think there's even more need for people to hear the gospel, the good news of God. Right? Like, he's who gives us hope. At the end of the day, like, when I'm, as a follower of Jesus, if things fall apart and our society crumbles and caves, like, I still have hope. Like, I have so much hope that Jesus will one day restore all things. That if I died today or tomorrow, that I'm going to be with him for all eternity. But there's people in this city all around us who don't have that hope. And so there is purpose for the church, but what does that look like? And I want to put this up, and this is like, you've probably heard me reference this before. This will be on the screen. The Westminster Catechism, it was a document that was written hundreds of years ago by some people that really love God, and they just wanted to figure out what is the purpose of man. And what they came up with, and this, I go back to this all the time in my heart, because I'm always trying to figure out, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Like, what is the purpose of my life beyond making sure there's food for my family, which is a really hard job when you have six kids, by the way. Making sure there's food for the family is like, it's a faith-building thing when you get that many kids. But beyond that, beyond and friendships and beyond all of that, like, God, what is my purpose? And these super spiritual church leaders back a few hundred years ago came up with this statement that the purpose of men and women is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Like, that's our purpose. And glorifying God really speaks to what our purpose is. Like, in the way that you work at your job, in the way that you interact with your family, in the way that you love your kids, in the way that you respond to conflict, you can bring glory to God. And so the whole purpose of our existence as people is to glorify God, okay, in the way that we live, but also to enjoy him forever. And I don't know if you think about that very much, but God actually desires for you to enjoy him. You realize that? Like, if you love going out on nature walks and seeing Kakabeka Falls and seeing beautiful things, like, God wants you to enjoy him. Enjoying creation, enjoying his beauty is enjoying him. And there's something really attractive about a Jesus follower who just enjoys being in the presence of God. And I believe that there's people around us everywhere that are looking and seeing that and long for what we have. And so the church, okay, so from this is what, and I just want to, before we read the scriptures today, I want to put these three things up on the screen. The church, and I just want to explain what it is, because here we are today, we're gathering, this is church, probably a lot of you said, I'm going to church. And my breath, sorry. So the church, what it is, it's a gathering of Jesus followers who do three things together. And you may say, well, there's some things missing on this list, or you missed this or that or whatever. But this is what I've really, my conviction is that what our purpose is we gather for the sake of worshiping God. We just lift up his name. And worship is more than the songs we sing. Andrew did an incredible job leading us in worship very beautifully. But worship, if you actually study the Bible, God is not very impressed with people who worship him one day and then the next day they go out and like slander their brother or sister or do terrible things or whatever, right? Like, worship is our whole lives. But the reason that we gather is to worship and then to listen, like, God, what are you saying right now? And to respond to that. The listening part, okay, and I'm going to get to this later in a minute. The listening part is really hard because when you read the scriptures, we're going to look into Corinthians today. What you're not going to find here is Paul saying, in the middle of a pandemic, when the government is telling you to wear masks, this is what you do, okay? You might be surprised to find that, okay? Or say you're in some crazy season of life and you feel like God is calling you to go and do something crazy. For Vicky and I, 4 years ago, he called us to come to Thunder Bay. We actually moved here 3 years ago, but it was 4 years ago when he made that clear. There was no time I was reading the Bible where it was like, Nathan and family, you're supposed to move to Thunder Bay in 2017 to be a part of Planting Transformation Church. That wasn't there, right? And so the church exists, okay? So we worship God, and together we study his word, and God speaks to us powerfully through his word. But we have to be a people who actually listen. Like, God, what is it you're saying? If Lori was here, and she's probably listening online, I always, like I say, if you're not a follower of Christ, you're probably like, you've got crazy bells going off right now, right? Because seriously, like, try that at your job when you go out and you talk to your boss and you're like, God speaks to me. Just throw that in a conversation and you'll get a weird look, right? Like, you know, God told me to do this and, you know, people will look at you funny, right? Because it's not something that is common thinking for most people, the fact that God speaks. But he does. I believe that often, most times, he speaks to us in community more so than just to individually. Right? He'll confirm what he's saying through the scriptures and through people around you and all those things, right? So there are people that use that, like God said phrase, and a lot of times it's not actually God saying, it's more their opinion, and they just want to strengthen their opinion, so they say God says, which then what do you say, right? You're like, well, how do I argue God, right? But God does speak today, and so the purpose of the church, we worship, we listen, and then when God speaks, we respond. And that's why we gather, right? And I just wanted to be clear of that before we jump in today. And again, I want to end also with some worship, because I think it's really important for us to be able to gather together and lift up God's name in person, in community. But I think he has some things he wants to challenge us with from his word, but there are some things that are specific to our situation today that we have to listen to how his Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And so this is going to be up on the slides behind or think, on the screen if you're tuning in online. I'm going to read the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And then I'm also going to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so our section this week is 8 through 12 of 1 Corinthians. And if you've been tracking, okay, the Corinthian church was a really messed up church. Like, they were on the brink of division big time. And so the last 2 weeks, we've been working through 1 Corinthians, and our sermon focus was on the divisions that were happening in the Corinthian church. And so the first week, which was 2 weeks ago, the title of the sermon was, Can't We All Just Get Along? And we're talking about all the divisions that were happening in the Corinthian church. And last week, we talked more about some of the divisions, and we talked about judgment. Like, we talked about this last week. Paul actually says, in one chapter, he says, don't judge. And then in the next chapter, he says, actually judge each other. Okay, so we talked about, like, was he contradicting himself? And he was not. But he was showing this community how you can live in unity while having different views, beliefs, opinions, perspectives, right? And so that's the church is a diverse group of people that have different convictions on things, and you'll see it. If you read through Corinthians, you're like, man, this church was a mess. Like, they had all kinds of division going on. They were, in this book alone, they were fighting over whether they could eat food that had been previously sacrificed to idols, how to practice the Lord's Supper. There was a lot of division over that. Some people, you know, when we do communion today, and we have a little cup and a little piece of bread, well, in the New Testament days, they actually had this whole meal where they celebrated the feast of the Lord. And some people would come to that meal, and they would drink so much wine, they'd get drunk. And so Paul was like, what are you doing? Like, this is not the church. Like, you guys are getting drunk. You're getting wasted. Like, what's going on? Like, there was division happening in the church. Can you imagine if that happened on a Sunday morning? We're in here, and we're serving communion, and Arlene comes up, and she's like, I'll take three of those cups, please. Big ones, right? Four. And she's just plastered, right? That's what was going on in the church, right? Paul's dealing with some major division. We don't see that. A lot of times, people look back, and they're like, oh, I wish we could go back to the way it was in the New Testament. Like, it was crazy. There was insane division going on. People were getting drunk in the middle of church, and then if somebody was coming in that didn't have a whole lot of money and couldn't provide their own alcohol, like, literally, back in those days, it was, you know what BYOB means? Bring your own beer. It was kind of like that. And so some people were drinking all kinds, and the poor people were coming in. They didn't have a whole lot, and they felt, like, jealous and looked down on. This is the church. And Paul's like, you guys are a mess. Like, you got to fix this. Something's got to change, right? There also were arguing over which leaders were the best. If you read Corinthians carefully, Paul mentions, like, three different leaders. I was thinking about this. In our day today, you could probably list off, like, 50 or 60 popular pastors that you like to listen to their sermons. And they have different views on all kinds of different issues. Just think of a hot topic issue and think of, like, some of the different leaders you know of. There is all kinds of different perspectives on things, and it's confusing. Like, how do you know what God is actually saying when you've got men and women of God that are on either side of some of these issues? In Paul's day, he mentions, like, three guys. In our day, I can think of tons. I can think of issues where I'm like, I wonder what God says about that. And some of my favorite preachers will take different approaches. Isn't that kind of confusing? Like, what's God saying? How do you listen to God? How do you know what he's saying when you've got, you know, those kinds of things? And Paul's dealing with that in his day, and even more so today, we're facing it. So this, you're going to see Paul's addressing this. These first three verses I'm going to read. What I want to challenge us with today is that love, and this is, maybe you'll hear this and think, well, that's just simplistic or it's easy. But love is the answer, right? So throughout 1 Corinthians, there's all this division. And what Paul brings us to is he says, love is the answer. And not just loving each other, just trying to get along and sweeping things under the rug, but a real deep, authentic love for God is the answer. And that's what I want to draw our attention to. So these first three verses, here's what he says. He says, now regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue, but while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. That makes me feel really good, because I know I don't know all the answers. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much, but the person who loves God is the one who God recognizes. So we live in some challenging days. We live in difficult days where things are happening that we've never faced before. Paul here, it's incredible what he says. when he says in the first verse, he says, yes, we know that we all have knowledge. It's like he's rolling his eyes. So he's dealing with a really divisive issue in their day, an issue that the church was potentially going to split up over. And it was like he was saying to them, and I could see him rolling his eyes. He's like, yes, we all have knowledge. And what was happening in the church in this day is that it was like Paul was saying, okay, so Kim is right in front of me, so that's why I can pick on Kim, okay? And we've got Bob in the back, okay? So if you're tuning in online, we've got Kim's in the front, Bob's in the back, and I want you to imagine these two are on two different sides of a debate, okay? And Kim is absolutely convinced that if you do things this way, you're displeasing God. He's angry at you. And Bob is saying, no, it's actually okay to do it, and God still, he sees your heart, he understands, and they're divided. Paul is dealing with an issue that is that divisive, and it was like he was saying to the Corinthians, it was almost like he's rolling his eyes, like, yes, we're all smart. We all know, we think we all know the answers. And he's saying, yes, Kim, you have lots of facts and lots of scriptures that back up your position. And yes, Bob, you do too, right? But what he was getting at was he's saying, and you're still on either side of this, and you still love God. And so what strengthens the church is a love for God. Like, what God recognizes is people who love him. It's not those that think they have all of the answers. And this could not be more important than right now, in the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of this virus, because none of us have all of the answers for how to respond in these days. You know, if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, I would talk about some hot topic issue or something that is really challenging to deal with, you know, amongst each other or people. But we're in the middle of this pandemic, and even on Facebook, and I've seen people that I love that argue vehemently on either side of the debate of whether or not Christians should wear masks, whether or not Christians should do this or that. And there's this division happening. And both parties have this love for God. And what Paul, he's talking about here is he's saying, yes, we know you've got knowledge. Yes, we know you've looked up all of the answers. Back in those days, they didn't have Wikipedia, but whatever version of it, Paul was saying, yes, Kim, we know you've spent hours on Wikipedia and you've figured out the way to address this issue. But what he was challenging them with, as he's saying, knowledge makes us feel important, but love strengthens the church. And it's not just, like, it's impossible for us just to love each other without first having a love for God. And I wait, this is super important. If you try to love other people with all of your heart and don't have any faith or belief in God, you come to this loggerheads. You come to this difficulty. Sometimes you come to things that you just can't overcome. You can't figure out fully together. But a love for God, it just gives you this ability to love people that are different than you. Because your love for him, what Jesus teaches us, he says, love God and love others. And so there are people that I disagree with over things, but because of my love for God, he challenges me to love other people well. And even in the church, like what Paul is saying is that love is what actually strengthens the church. And so my challenge to us is that we would be a people. Let's be a people who love God, who really love him. And my question, are you willing to be that people, like that people, like a people that we're characterized, the wind is coming. It's good. Like, let the breeze in. But we're characterized by just an actual love for God. One of my mentors, and some of you would have met him last fall, Dr. Smith, he came here and taught a seminar on reading and studying the Bible. He's a scholar. Like, he's studied the biblical languages and all this stuff. He told me that he knows some of the best Bible scholars that are alive today. Like, that these guys, they're brilliant. Like, they can go back. They don't just read the Bible in New Living Translation or New King James or ESV. Like, they read the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic because they've done that much study that they can do that. He said some of the best Bible scholars he knows, they don't even pray. So a lot of people study the scriptures because it's an ancient historical document and they've become scholars in it, but they don't know God. And that's what Paul's saying is he's like, it doesn't matter. God's not concerned with you knowing intellectually all of the things that you need to know. He's concerned with whether or not you love him. If you've met my daughter, Lucy, then you were really blessed to meet her. And if she's watching, hey, Lucy. But she's just this, like, she's this child that's full of love. So when we, like, sometimes we go for bike rides and we bike down through Chapels Park. There's a really super nice trail that you can go down through Chapels Park. and we're passing people, and no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, she just has this chipper. She's like, hey. And you can tell it, like, it makes their day, right? Like, it just soothes something. Lucy, there's a lot of things Lucy doesn't fully know or understand, but her love is just authentic. Her love is just, it's sincere. And as a dad, it melts my heart. And so when I think of God, it's the same thing that Paul is saying to us. He's saying, like, the knowledge, like, you're dividing over all these things. You're dividing over these divisive issues. But what strengthens the church is this authentic love for God. And when you have a love, a passion for God, you start to obey him because of a love for him, not because you're afraid of the bad things that are going to happen if you don't. You know, I was driving down the street, and the Bible talks a lot about sexual immorality. It talks about lust. And I was driving down, and I think it was like a billboard that had like a really seductive picture of a woman. And I was thinking about sometimes the way church talks about those things and the way church, you know, says, well, culture is so bad and culture needs to change. And it just hit me. I was like, if I really love God, the more I love him, the more my heart yearns and longs for him, I lose taste for the things that the world longs for and tastes after. Like, the temptations don't go away. I'm not saying that. Like, believe me, temptations are there. Temptations are strong. But the more you love God, the more you have this desire where you're like, I just want to live in a way that honors him. Like, I want to do things that please my dad. Like, my heart has been so changed that I want to please him. And so the things that used to tempt you that you'd give into, it's not that you're not tempted, but you're like, I don't want to, like, I just have such a love for God. I want to do what pleases him. Like, there's a shift that happens. Sometimes the way that we communicate things in church is like, well, if you do these bad things, God's mad at you. He's up there with a stick, and he's going to beat you. But what God is longing for is he's saying love is what strengthens the church. When you fall in love with him, something changes on the inside of your heart, and your desires line up with him. And that's what I want us to be as a church. And I'm going to read one more passage. We're going to jump back into worship in a minute. And this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I want to address it because of the days that we live in, and because, and you've heard me say this if you come here before, but scripture, like, God speaks through scripture powerfully. If you're not digging into the word, I would encourage you to do so. And when you do it, not to be reading just for the sake of knowledge, but reading and saying, God, what are you saying to me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll make sure I get the verses 13 through 16, Paul is talking about a really divisive issue in the church. And today, it still is divisive in some churches, okay? So there are some churches that would say, because of what we read in Corinthians, we still live this way. We still apply what Paul was talking about. Most don't. And I want to address something that's, you know, real to today. Also, just with the knowledge of, like, we're motivated by a love for God. And so he's talking about head coverings here, and here's what he has to say about it. So verse 13, chapter 11 says, judge for yourselves, is it right for a woman to pray to God in public without covering her head? Isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? And isn't long hair a woman's pride and joy? For it has been given to her as a covering. But if anyone wants to argue about this, I simply say that we have no other custom than this, and neither do God's other churches. So, if you're tuning in and you're not a follower of Christ, or you're critical of the church, you're probably hearing that and saying, see, that's why I don't want anything to do with the church. Like, look at the way they talk to people. Maybe you're a woman that has short hair, and you're like, well, that's just, like, such a backwards way of thinking. It's such a horrible way of thinking. And look at what, you know, they get hung up on. And what I want to point out to you is Paul was dealing with something that was a cultural issue in his day. So I want you to just, I'm going to read this carefully. He says, and what he's saying, okay, is he's saying in the churches, women need to cover their heads, okay? And he's, and I want you to see why. He says, is it right for a woman to pray to God in public without covering her head? Isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? And isn't long hair a woman's pride and joy? And Paul, what he's doing here is he's appealing to reason. So in that day, they had certain cultural expectations that was across the board. It wasn't just like Paul was creating something out of nowhere. He wasn't pulling something from the Old Testament saying, you have to wear head coverings, this is the only way. He says, and he's appealing to their logical reason way of thinking. He's saying, isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? Well, today, that's not obvious. If Paul asked that question today, we'd say, no, that's not obvious. Like, it's fine for men to have long hair. And he's also saying, like, isn't it obvious that, you know, women shouldn't have short hair? We'd say, no, that's not obvious. He's appealing to something that was specific to them in that day. And so just as like a pastor, I want to encourage you, when you read scripture, read it carefully. Like, seek to understand it within community. Seek to understand what God was saying in those times. He's not laying down a law and a rule that's the way that it's supposed to be for all people everywhere. He's appealing to something that was very specific in that day. Today, it doesn't matter whether a woman has long hair or short hair. That's not seen as positive or negative either way. Same thing with men. If men have long hair, men have short hair, it doesn't matter today. Culturally, Paul wouldn't be making that same argument today. He wouldn't be trying to force things because he's appealing to their reason. And so the reason I wanted to bring this up is we're going to, next week, we actually have to mandate people to wear masks in church, right? That's actually coming out because our government has put that rule in place. So as of next Friday, which is July 24th, if you're in a public place, you have to wear a mask. And there are people that would say, well, we shouldn't, you know, let the government have that much control, have that much power, and we shouldn't do it as a church, right? And then there are some people that would say, no, we definitely need to because that's safer, whatever, and there's all kinds of different ways of viewing that issue and that topic. What Paul's concern was when he was dealing with things, and if you read Corinthians carefully, he was saying, like, let's unite together. What strengthens the church is a love for God. Like, you can go on either side of some of these arguments, either side of some of these debates, and one way isn't necessarily better than the other. You have to choose a way to go and move forward in a way that, you know, maintains unity and love, right? That's what he's getting at. And so he took a side on this issue, and there's a lot more to be said about that issue specifically, but I wanted to use it as an example. And so for us, we are going to have to require people to wear masks. And if this is something that causes, like, a reaction in you, I would just encourage you to think about it in line with, like, how do we maintain harmony and unity in the church? How do we do this in a way that honors God and honors each other? And this isn't a Bible verse, but I got this from Scripture. I don't know if it'll be up on the screen, but this is what I want to challenge you with. You don't have to trust the government like you trust God, but God does call us to respect and honor our government. And so there's a lot, and maybe it's because I'm tuned in on Facebook and I'm reading all the articles coming out and different things going on and the stances different preachers and pastors and theologians are taking. People take issue, like, there's a lot of kind of belief even in the church to, like, about conspiracy theories and all kinds of things. And there's this reaction to our government because as some Christians would have major disagreements with the government on certain issues. And so there's a reaction to almost everything. And what I would encourage you, like, God isn't asking you to trust the government the way you'd trust him. He's not. Like, that scripture nowhere says that we're supposed to trust our government the way we would trust God. He does call us to honor them and respect them. There are exceptions. You know, you can go back in history and you can look at guys like Dietrich Bonhoeffer that stood against Hitler, who was the government, and he was led by God to do so. That's a really, you know, those kinds of things don't happen a lot. But in most cases, we're called to honor and respect our government unless it goes against something that's directly clear from God. And I just would encourage us as a people, like, our goal, my goal as your pastor is, like, how do we continue to be a community that worships Jesus? There will never come a day where we will stop proclaiming who Jesus is. If the government says that someday we're supposed to do that, we won't stop proclaiming the truth of Jesus, right? But there are some things like wearing masks, and there's going to be some things coming up that are divisive, and it's hard to know which side we should fall on it. And like Paul was saying in his community, he was saying, like, I know you've got all the answers, Kim, on this side, and Bob, you've got all the answers on this side, but we've got to focus on loving God. And as we make some of these changes, I would just encourage us as a community to think in terms of just loving God. And so we're gonna play a video to close. And if you're tuning in online, you'll hear the words. The video might not be as clear. And then Andrew's gonna come up and close with the song. You may have seen this. I wanted to show this. I'm kind of surprised I haven't done this yet here in Thunder Bay. I used to use this video all the time. It's an old one. It's called "That's My King." And so maybe you've seen it. But it's this preacher, S.M. Lockridge, and I think he died a number of years ago. But he went on this tangent of just talking about who Jesus is. And when I first saw this, by the end of it, I was like, yeah, that's my king. And you'll see why I say that. But it was like, that's the one that I serve. He's the one that I live for. He's the one that I worship. He's why we gather. He's why we're here today. And so we're going to play this, and it's a reminder of who God is, who we worship, and even why we worship. So I'll play that, and then Andrew's going to come up, and he'll close us off. I won't come back up after that. But listen to this carefully, and just let the Lord speak to you through it.